2 Samuel, chapter 12. Now, the only purpose I have in preaching this message, or one of the main purposes I have preaching this message this morning, is that you, as a congregation, be informed the religious world has went through a real shock in the last 2 weeks, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. It's getting worse. My job as a pastor isn't always fun in that I have to keep you informed. I want our church to know what's going on. I want the people who go here to our church to be on top of things, to know that Bible backwards and forwards, to be able to handle any situation, to be able to give an answer to any man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you, and you to be well-fed flock of sheep. That's why I don't feed you the same thing every Sunday. You need a balanced diet to be a good, strong Christian. And I think that's where we preachers mess up so many times. We find something that's good and want to serve it every meal, and people get foundered on it. And that's why we try to keep a different courses in the meal coming here to church, so you'll be a well-balanced Christian. And that's also why we don't want to be afraid to tackle any issue or run and stick our head in the sand and refuse to discuss it. Anything that comes up, we ought to be able to open our Bibles and say, hey, let's talk about it out of the Word of God and see what God said. There's something bad wrong with a Christianity that has so many hush-hush subjects in it and things you just don't mention. You're getting in big trouble when you get like that. And this, of course, an independent Baptist church, which means we belong to nothing. We belong to nobody but the Lord. And we say just what we want to say. And so I'm going to talk about this morning the Holy War in 2 Samuel chapter 12. As you know and I know, it's not a holy war at all. It's an unholy mess. But that's what Newsweek magazine calls it. I bought this in the airport the other day. And here's Jim and Tammy on the front. Newsweek magazine goes all over the United States. And the world is saying right now, here's a preacher. Here's Christianity. And it says money, sex, and power on the front of Newsweek. The front page of Time magazine is the very same thing. It's got a picture of Jimmy Swaggart making a mean face, pointing his finger like he's the devil going to get the Bakers. They have a cartoonist, a Charlotte Observer, drew a picture of a snake in the Garden of Eden, and the snake's head was Jerry Falwell. And he's run Jim and Tammy out of the Garden of Eden and saying, now I'm in charge here. And you know what I'm going to do this morning? I'm going to tell you all about that stuff, so you'll know the truth. And so you listen carefully. It's not the first time something like this has happened. This thing happened back in the Old Testament. A man of God committed adultery. I'm not here to discuss anybody's personality or what you think about somebody or what somebody feels about where these guys, all that, even whether they're saved or not, between them and God. I don't even know. But I do know what the book said. The book said here that David messed up, and a preacher come and told David that he messed up, and he repented. And notice what the Lord told, Nathan told David in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. David said unto Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Verse 14, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we, Lord, are on this unprecedented brink of disaster in the Christian life, Lord, as the church and body of Jesus Christ are seeing days now like it's never seen before, Lord, when so many old, dear, precious saints of God have done died and gone home to be with You, and it seemed like many times what's left of the body of Christ is in a mess, Lord Jesus, give us help. Lord God, touch us this morning. Help us, Lord, to know the truth and to stand by it. Lord, we know that You said in Your Word, because iniquity would abound, that the love of many would wax cold. God, we know we're in a sewer of sin. God, we know the storms of life are raging all around us. Lord, You see us down here this morning. God, I pray You'd hear my call. Bless New Manna Baptist Church. Protect us from the storms that rage. Keep us from the pitfalls. God, help us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us to stand true and brave and tall and hold up the blood-stained banner of the blessed name of the Lord. Oh, God forbid that we'd bring shame to Your name. Help us to be proud to be called a Christian. Help us not to hang our heads in disgrace at these abominations that are going on in our day. But help us, Lord, to be tall and pure and righteous and holy and be faithful to You until that day when You come or You call. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We had a man, two of our men on visitation recently, talked to another man trying to get him to come to church. That man began to cuss, to ball up his fist, to swear, to cuss every church he knew about, to cuss the preachers, and say, "I'll never," referring to what's been going on in the news right now, and say, "I'll never step foot in another church." David had been told here by the prophet that because his sin and coming abroad and him being such a man in the news, that he had given the enemies of the Lord great occasion to blaspheme. Since the story of a woman evangelist back in the 20s named Amy McPherson, and then of course the case of Billy James Hargis back in the 50s, I believe, who was involved in a sex scandal with students at his college, and him being a preacher, there has never been as much attention focused on the religious world and laughing and blaspheming as they are been going on these last 2 weeks. I begin to think about that, and I begin to say, God, why is all this stuff happening? God, why couldn't something have happened just to keep it out of the way? And I don't mean justifying anybody in sin. I mean just keeping it from being blowed out of proportion and keeping the enemies of the Lord from laughing and making such a big joke out of it. Just to kind of bring you up to date of what's been going on, it just seems like a plan of the devil that all of the stuff with Evangelist Oral Roberts was going on at the very same time these other things begin to develop. For you see, Oral Roberts really shocked people and really went out on a limb several years ago when he said that a 900-foot Jesus appeared to him and told him to build a hospital that size. He said God told him to put 777 beds in that hospital. and name it the City of Faith. Immediately when that statement was made, the news reporters and the media began to mock and joke about it. There's a sign out in Tulsa on the side of the road somebody put up that said, "Danger, 900-foot Jesus crossing." In another place on a radio station in Oklahoma, a disc jockey came on the radio and said that a 600-foot lassie appeared to him and told him to build a cat and dog hospital and call it kennel care. The jokes begin to fly. They built the thing and only 294 beds were finished, and they have problems keeping 100 patients in beds. Not long ago, Oral Roberts came on television and on his airwaves and said that he had to have a sum of a total of $8 million by April the 1st, or the end of March, or in his words, God would call him home. Immediately when that happened, the newspapers picked up on that. They love to get a hold of something that makes Christians look like crazy people. And as you well know, just a few weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago, right as he was going up into the prayer tower to wait on God and pray and fast until the money come in, the fellow that run the dog track down there in Florida in Orlando bailed him out and wrote Oral Roberts a check for the remainder, $1,300,000. He suggested, and it's gotten all the magazines and newspapers, that Oral Roberts receive psychiatric help. The newspapers laugh and mock at that once again, saying that all preachers are after is money and taking advantage of people and just taking poor people for a ride and old widows' social security checks and that type of a situation. But the bad part came right as Oral Roberts was getting ready to ascend into his prayer tower and pray the remaining week for the $1,300,000. News came over the airways that Tammy Faye Baker was in Betty Ford's rehabilitation center out in California to get off drug habit. And as the world was talking about that, the Charlotte Observer broke the story that Jim Baker had had an affair with a New York church secretary, Jessica Hahn, who was 21 years old at the time, in 1980, and covered it up and paid her money in order to cover up the scheme. Now they are calling this latest scandal Pearlygate, to mock Watergate. They're calling it Gospelgate and God Scam. It has, according to Newsweek magazine, has split the world of televised evangelism into warring camps. As the preachers hurl charges and countercharges of sexual misconduct, greed, and lust for power. Comedians had a field day with the downfall of the self-righteous. They reported, as Jessica Hahn's lawyer said, that she was flown to Florida to meet Jim Baker while he and his wife were having problems, and she had babysat with John Wesley Fletcher, who was another evangelist, his children, and she idolized Baker. They took her to Florida, and then Jim Baker appeared and caused this sexual scene to take place by giving her wine with drugs in it that made her unable to resist his advances toward her, and she felt like a piece of hamburger thrown in the street. Jim Baker's lawyers came back and said that she was the temptress and he was the miserable victim and manipulated by wicked people people, and it was a scandal to have somebody else take over PTL. Now, you may be sitting there this morning and say, Brother Danny, what has all of that got to do with us? We're a Baptist church. We have nothing to do with PTL. We have nothing to do with Oral Roberts. We have nothing to do with any of those people. We're here. We got a ministry of our own. And whether we want to admit it or not, we are in that situation. We are in that fight. We are in that thing. Even though that a lot of this stuff is false Christianity, the world don't know that. They think that is Christianity, which makes them look at us through the same eyes that they look at them. And we as Christians are gonna have to face it. We're gonna have to face it. That's the day we're living in. Immediately, what happened? They begin to say that the whole blame was Jimmy Swaggart. And that Jimmy Swaggart was wanting to take over the PTL club. Now I'm gonna try my best to keep quiet while I'm giving you this little report. I'm wanting to inject little thoughts in here, but I've got a lot to get to, so I'm gonna have to hold them back. And they said that Jimmy Swaggart reported to the Assemblies of God denomination, of which him and Jim Baker both is an ordained Pentecostal Assembly of God preacher, and reported it to them so that they could kick him out or discipline him. Immediately, people said, well, you're just trying to take over PTL, and we should just forget the whole thing. Jimmy Swaggart says, no, I think God ought to clean house. I think sin ought to be judged, whether it's me, whether it's Jim Baker, whether it's anybody else. And that's the slant that he's coming from. Then Jerry Falwell is drug into the picture. And Jim Baker asked Jerry Falwell to take over his job. Now, anybody that knows anything about Jerry Falwell knows that he's not looking for a job. But Jerry Falwell steps in and takes over PTL. Then the Pentecostals in South Carolina get mad and try to run Jerry Falwell off because he don't believe in speaking in tongues. And they want him to speak in tongues. And they said they'd rather have it closed down completely than a Baptist have it, in so many words. Then Pat Robertson is wanting 3 million signatures so he can run for president next year. And he says if he gets 3 million signatures backing him up, that he will run for the presidency of the United States. Meanwhile, up in New York, the Penthouse, Playboy magazine, people like that, are beating Jessica Hahn's door down, wanting to make pictures of her so they can spread it across the country as here's what made the preacher fall. Now, what I want to do this morning, and I'm leaving out a lot of the details of this gory mess, it kind of reminds me of you coming up on the interstate and there's about a 50-car pileup and people laying everywhere bleeding to death and them sawing people. That's what it reminds me of. And I want to tell you what I believe are the causes of this holy war. I believe we can trace the causes of this whole mess to three things easily pointed out in the Bible. Number one, the world. Number two, the flesh. And number three, the devil. And somehow or another, we Christians get so sanctified, we forget about either three of those messing us up. But according to that book, there's three things that'll ruin a Christian. There's three things that'll cause a war. There's three things that'll mess up your life. There's three things that'll ruin you teenagers. There's three things. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Number one, let's talk about the world. Now when the Bible talks about the lust of the world, it's not talking about the planet. It's not talking about the rocks and the trees and the rivers and stuff. When the Bible talks about the world, it's talking about the world. The atmosphere, the dancing, the singing, the music, the clothes, the beach scenes, the big shot politics, the banks, the movie stars. That's the world. Now, you better be real careful and watch out for this world. You know what happens? A lot of those preachers fall victim to the world. You get a lot of money, you get a lot of power. And there's not any more dangerous thing can happen to a person than getting money and power. And I want to tell you something else this morning. Some of you may not agree with what I'm getting ready to say. But I'd say it to anybody. I'm not ashamed to say it because I believe I'm right. I personally believe that every one of those guys, I'm talking Rex Humbard even, I'm talking Oral Roberts, I'm talking Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart, Jerry Falwell, Pat Rock. I personally believe that every one of them started out in their ministry just as sincere about doing something for God as I am or you are. I know people disagree with that. I know there's probably some of you there's probably some of you that thinks that they started out as a fake and their whole purpose was to make money. I don't believe that. I believe every one of them fellas had good intentions to begin with. But somehow something went wrong. Somehow the world, there's a real danger about stuff getting big and a lot of money and stuff coming in. Real danger. Did you know we went through a very dangerous time when we first moved in this new church building? And this is nothing compared to what them fellas got. Did you know even this youth camp, we're talking about $285,000, and then any time your ministry gets bigger, there's that much more room for the devil to get in. That means you have to pray more. That means you have to be more sincere. That means you have to be on your guard more than ever before. But the very opposite happens. As you get more and you get bigger, you get busier, you spend less time with God, you spend less time on your knees, and the first thing you know, brother, you done something you have never done back down the road when you first started. I believe that 90% of television and radio preachers start out sincere. I mean, even them, it's a little screwy, really. Even them that don't know doctrine from them flowers, brother. I believe most of them are started out sincere. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, wouldn't you think that they felt like they really had a call from God and really wanted to do something for God originally? But the world. Now, I'll tell you something. It's scary. When the church gets, it's a funny thing. If the church gets littler, it scares me. Church gets bigger, it scares me. I don't want us to swink. But I'm scared to grow. But I'd die if we didn't grow. I want it to get bigger and bigger. But I tell you something. When you get more people and more money and more things going, the more temptation you're going to have to mess up. David, God's man, when he didn't have nothing, he was out there fighting a giant boy, sincere, loved God with all. Boy, when he had them armies out there fighting for him, he was there in the palace, he had it made. He's done spotted a woman, messed his life up, and paid for it till the day he died. Now, I'll tell you what's wrong with us, Christianity, as far as this world business is concerned right now. Listen real carefully. It's impossible to please everybody when you start talking about stuff like I'm going to talk about. I don't preach what I believe God gave. This thing's been on my heart all week. For several years, matter of fact, from the entire holiness movement from around 1900 till about 20 years ago, many holiness groups and a lot of other groups went overboard on holiness. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Danny, that's blasphemy. You can't be too holy. The Bible said, be not righteous over much. Now, you better understand what that means. That's not saying do wrong. That's saying that what they'd done back in the 50s and in the 40s, they went overboard on holiness. They made rules. The old Church of God lady, none of them, they wouldn't wear a wedding band. They wouldn't wear a watch. They thought if you cut your hair, you was going to hell. They thought, the Bible don't say that it's wrong for a woman to cut her hair. It just says it's a glory if you have long hair. See? Long as you leave it long, you can cut it. You got that? You ain't supposed to have short hair like a boy. Boy ain't supposed to have long hair like a girl. That's what the Bible says. You got that? Now you got that, didn't you? I didn't hear many amens on that. That's what the Bible says. I didn't write it. That's what it says. I'm telling you what it says. Now what they done? They said if you trim off your dead ends, you're not a Christian. They said if somebody can see your ankles, you're not a Christian. They said if you wear a wedding band, you're a Jezebel. They said a lot of them old preachers would not wear a tie. They thought if you wore a tie, you was a compromiser. And brother, I mean, if you had a red Bible, you wasn't right with God. Now, I'm not making fun of them, brother, because them people love God. But what I'm making a point, now, y'all listen to me. A wicked person could take what I'm going to say and take advantage of it, but a righteous person that loves the Lord, you know, you'll take it right. And you know what happened? Christian liberty began to be preached back 20 years ago. And they said, we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. Hallelujah, that's true. And the church went overboard the other way. And said, well, praise God, we got Christian liberty. We'll take us a little sip of wine now and then. We'll go mix swimming. It don't matter if we all wear bathing suits in front of each other. I will just all, yeah. Because after all, we're saved by grace. And now the church has gone overboard toward worldliness. They went overboard on the works 30 years ago. Now they're going overboard on the grace. And that's the problem with this world. I'm going to tell you what I think this morning. I think the big problem with PTL and a lot of these big outfits is, brother, they just get too worldly. I mean, the first thing you know, you got a movie star on there, and he's giving his testimony, and he sings in a nightclub on Saturday night, but then sings How Great Thou Art on Sunday morning, and then the next thing you know, Barbara Mandrell and Dolly and Porter and all of them's good Christians, and the next thing you know, everybody's going to heaven, and the next thing you know, you're going out here, and everybody's got their bikinis on going down the water slide, and the next thing you know, when Tammy fell in it, it's so muddy they had to clear it out a few days, and the next thing you know, this that happened, and next thing you know that happened, and the next thing you know you're taking out female counterparts to eat lunch together, and the next thing you know you're counseling with somebody you're not married to, and the next thing you know, brother, Christians, they don't go see the dirty movies, so they go rent them a videotape and show it on the VCR at home, and the next thing you know they're watching nudity, and the next thing you know they got lust in their heart, and the next thing you know, and some of you know the rest of the story because it's happened to you. You just ain't got told on like Jim did. Hold your horses. Buckle your seatbelts. That's the world! That's the world! Listen, brother! Listen! Listen, some of you Christians sitting right here this morning, you used to wouldn't dare watch a dirty movie. No! No! Boy, you didn't believe it right! You didn't believe it was right to watch people take their clothes off and hop in bed, hear them take God's name in vain, all that. But now it don't bother you, does it? You know what your problem is? You're letting that world get you. You say, well, Brother Danny, I don't like what you said, and I don't agree with it, and I ain't never coming back. You ain't going to be the first one. There's plenty of people that don't like what I'm saying. I'm telling you what's caused this mess we're in. Brother, you never hear nobody. And I'm not criticizing Jim Baker. Probably, brother, if the truth is known, he's probably in good shape compared to a lot of preachers you and me know. Amen, I believe that. I believe there's a lot of Baptist preachers worse shape than he is, and they just didn't get caught yet. Amen? I believe these people here in this church committed adultery more than one time in the past 7 years. You just ain't getting found out and put on the news. If your truth was known, there'd be worse scandal on you if they knew it. I think you ought to put a scandal on Charlotte, on Mike McKay's adultery and leaving his wife and taking up that woman on Top of the Day. Amen? Amen, preacher. Go ahead, Brother Danny. Tell about it. Boy, I ought to tell that. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll have the details on the sex scandal of Mike McKay. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Amen. I can't hear you. I'm telling you, brother, that's what's got this world in a mess. Is the church in a mess? It's the world. The world. The world. I don't believe I'm saved by my works. But I'll tell you one thing, brother, you better be scared to fool around with that world too much. I tuned in a little cable up while I was in the motel this week, and I watched the the Praise the Lord program, Paul and Jan, whatever his name is, Crouch, and they're out in California and all, and they was talking on there, and I heard a Christian leader all but say that if you didn't feel bad about drinking wine, it was all right. On Christian television. 30 years ago, a preacher wouldn't have got on TV and told you it's all right to drink wine. 20 years ago, brother, they'd have been on there skin and hide. And it's, have you ever noticed how they don't ever have any chin on these programs? You know, it's a kind of a Johnny Carson type setup, you know, with a real nice countenance. And, oh, I just read your new book, and it's wonderful. Oh, I just felt the Lord so much in my heart when I thought. Now, there ain't nothing wrong. Moving too close to the edge. Here's the average Christian. They want to get just as close to the world as they can possibly get without being actually in it. Just like this. You know what's going to happen to me if I keep this up, don't you? Long enough. I'm going to get more of my shoes over there. Whoa. That's the kind of life some of you are living. And oh, here's sin, and oh, here's the church. You're getting just as close as you can get. I heard about this guy one time years ago that he's wanting somebody to drive his chariot and take his chariot and horses to a certain place and drive it back and forth every day. And he had to drive it around these steep cliffs. And he interviewed these men for the job. And one man come in, he said, I've got so many years experience at driving. I can drive this. I can handle it. He said, I can drive 3 inches within the edge of that cliff and never go off of it. The guy said, have a seat. He had another guy come in there. He said, I'm a better driver than he is. Let me drive you chariots. He said, I can run them chariots 1 inch away from that cliff and never go off of it. Another guy come in. He said, boy, I ain't good a driver as them. He said, I stay just as far away from the edge as I can get. And the guy said, you're hired. You got the job. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? They say, oh, I can handle it. A little sip of wine ain't going to hurt. I can get close to the edge, not me. You're getting ready to go off. If you ain't already, you're headed that way. You know, let me tell you something. You know what they said on there? You know what that nut said? He said, well, didn't Paul tell Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's sake and he's often infirmities? Could I just clear that up for you nutheads that spend more time watching TV than you do reading the Bible? Number one, Paul was telling him to take medicine, not a beverage. Like NyQuil. Except it wasn't near as strong as NyQuil. Number two, the wine in the Bible wasn't one-fifth as powerful as what you got nowadays. Number three, there's two kinds of wine in the Bible, and the new wine in the Bible just considered grape juice to begin with. The fruit of the vine. You can't show me nowhere in this Bible where Jesus made, endorsed, or gave anybody intoxicating wine. Amen. I met a guy at the post office the other day, and he'd come to church time too, and I said, why don't you come to church? And he said, well, I'll just tell you, he said, the way I believe it's all right to drink a little, and y'all don't believe it is. I said, well, that ain't got nothing to do with it. What I believe and what you believe ain't got nothing to do with it. It's what the Bible said. The Bible says wine's a mocker, strong drink is raging. The Bible said look not on the wine when it gives, changes its color aright, when it moves in the cup, when it's fermented. Look not on the wine. It said, whosoever deceived thy Bible is not wise. It is not for kings. It is not for kings to drink wine. It's woe to him that puts a bottle to his neighbor's lip. And he said, well, yeah, I'll have to study about that. You know what he thought? He thought what he thought was important. He thought, well, I don't think it is. You think it is. It doesn't matter what we think. It's what God said. Secondly, the flesh. Now, what people don't remember is you've got red blood running in you. You have red blood in your body, and there is nobody in this room that's above having an affair and messing your life up with the opposite sex? Nobody. Now, I know there's some of you sitting there right now thinking you're so self-righteous. Boy, he's really telling them, but it could never happen to me. You're deceiving yourself. You're deceived. You may have no thoughts whatsoever. That may be the farthest thing from your mind right now. But right now is right now. It may be different 6 months from now. It may be different a year from now. Oh, Lord, people, we ought to get on our face before God and say, oh, God, protect me as never before. Build a hedge about me. Oh, Lord, protect me from this thing of the flesh. Son, there's more flesh being displayed around in public nowadays than they ever has been in. Can you imagine? Brother, the way they doll these women up nowadays, every one of them looks good. Even the ugly ones, they can make them look good. Starve her to death and tie a big tight something around and pull her fat stomach in, and brother, paint her up real good and grease her down real good, and any of them looks good. And anybody in here, anybody, I know some of you sitting there thinking, well, I think Danny's a little overreacting all of this. I wish you could hear what I hear in my office. I wish you could get the telephone calls that I get. I wish you could talk to some people I thought that said, preacher, I'd have never thought it would have happened to me. I've even heard people say, I said I'd never do this. I said I'd never do that. And they wound up doing it. And let me tell you something else, friend, and I'm not justifying what Jim done or didn't do or whatever, but before you point your finger at him, you better be real careful that you don't wind up doing the same thing or worse. Amen? It bothers me, there's so many self-righteous Baptists that I know that give it this kind of joking, well, I knew it all along attitude, like it could never happen. Brother, that scared the fire out of me. I don't have that much confidence in myself. He said, whoa, what are you doing? Whoa, none of your business. Now, I ain't doing nothing. But I want to tell you something, brother. I ain't above it. And I'd be a liar and a fool to say I was. And so would you. So you say, well, Brother Danny, you'll make people think you're doing something awful up there talking like that. I'm just wanting you to see we're all made out of the same old sorry flesh. And that, brother, that temptation comes to anybody and everybody. And you look right straight at me and lie through your teeth if you say you're never tempted. Don't you throw that holy junk on me, man. Don't you look at me like, well, not me. Stuff don't bother me. We know what kind of liar you are. If there's a man in here that says he's never tempted in any way, a beautiful woman walk right in front of him, and it doesn't faze him a bit, you need to see a doctor, son. Something wrong with you. You need to see a doctor. Or else you're queer. Amen. And if I was you and had my choice, I'd go to the doctor. Amen. Amen. There's something wrong with you women. You women sit there and say, well, I love old Bruce Springsteen, Winger Dinger, whatever his name is. And I just love to watch what's his name in Magnum, and I just love him. Oh, don't you give me that holy junk. You never had a bad thought. You just lying. Oh, you don't want to admit it. But it's there. That old sinful name. You say, well, what do we do about it? You keep it in check. You keep prayed up. You read the book. You say, oh, God, make a covenant with my eyes like Job did. Say, God, I ain't going to look at that filthy stuff. God, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to walk with you in these last days that we're living in. And I believe, bless your soul, just as sure as there are temptations, I believe there's victory in the blood of Jesus. And I believe you can walk right. I believe you can live right. I don't believe everybody has to have an affair. I don't believe that everybody has to commit adultery. I believe there's victory for the child of God that'll claim it and walk with the Lord. Amen. But don't underestimate the power of the flesh. The Bible says many strong men have been slain by her. Did you see her? Lord. It's like if a man's going to ruin his life, he can beat that, don't he? She won't even take her sunglasses off. Looks like a wasp. Or watch your step. Three, the devil. Don't get me tickled now. I'm trying to preach a sermon. The devil is out there, and he's shrewd and he's powerful. Don't ever forget the enemy. Just because you're saved, don't think for a second that your dealings with the devil are over. They have just begun, brother. They've just begun. As a matter of fact, before you get saved, you and the devil's going side by side. You don't even ever have any encounters with him. After you get saved, boom, boom. It's conflict. It's conflict constantly. Well, I'm gonna have to hurry. I'm gonna give you, what should we do? What should we do? I mean, when you go to church or you go to work and somebody says, well, what do you think about Jerry Falwell? What should we do? Hit them? Get mad and ball up our fist and bust somebody in the nose? Well, I think the first thing we ought to do is weep. And I'll be honest with you, church, it bothers me that Christians, it ain't tore up Christians more than it has. And I mean, I know in one way of looking at it, we say, well, bless God, if a man ain't right, he ought to be out. And that's right. I agree with that. Men ought to be out. They ought to be disciplined. They ought to be kicked out. All that kind of stuff. If I done that, kick me out. I mean it. But as the whole world looks at the church and everything and lies, that ought to break our hearts. The first night I heard that thing broke on the news, I laid down in my living room floor and honestly got sick to my stomach. I said, oh, God. Lord, it seemed like we're trying to build up and teach people right and show them that Christians has got something. Now when something like this happens, they'll say, well, see there, you ain't no different than nobody else. You're just a hypocrite. Your Christians are all alike. See there, if God was real, stuff like, see there, see. And it's just going to comfort people. And I personally believe that there will be people go to hell over this thing. There will be people that would have come to church and got saved at some time that will not and die and go to hell on account of this. No doubt. We ought to weep. We ought to be saying, oh God, help the church, help the church. And I ain't talking about the local church. I'm talking about the body of Christ all over the world. God help it. Secondly, we ought to search our hearts. Now, if this ain't done, I believe the Lord used this thing to shock a lot of them flashy evangelist into checking their own hearts out. Matter of fact, one I heard about up there said he done took his big diamond off. That's good. That's a step in the right direction. You know, it ought to make us check our heart. Are we too concerned with the world? Are we playing too close to the edge? Are we doing things that could wind us up in the same shape? Thirdly, we ought to learn to get our eyes off of man. I like what Jerry Falwell said. Now, one thing about Falwell, he's smart. They ain't going to trip him up in his word. He's smarter than all the rest of them put together about as far as being able to handle himself in front of the news media. And they got him on there and they said, what do you think this will do to his followers? And Falwell said, they ain't supposed to be his followers. They're supposed to be following the Lord. And that's exactly right, brother. That's always put your faith in the Lord, people. Hey, everybody listen to me. It's good to have confidence in each other. And I've got a lot of confidence in a lot of people in this room. But I tell you what, brother, I learned a long time ago, when push comes to shove, son, don't trust no flesh. Put your confidence in the Lord. Say, Lord, I ain't going to look at what people do. I'm a looking to one. I love old Brother Andy there, Brother Donnie, Roy Lee. I got confidence in all these boys. Ricky, Clinton, Brother Ray there, Dana. I got confidence in every one of these. I got confidence in Brother John. I got confidence in Brother Glenn. I got a lot of confidence in these men here at this church. But you know what? I ain't going to follow them where they go wrong. I'm going to look to the Lord and say, buddy, if you mess up, see you around. I want to stick with the Lord. Because flesh is grass and it'll fail you sooner or later. Now, anybody who gets all their confidence in one preacher is going to get let down sooner or later. You better put your faith in the Lord. And then the last thing I want to say about what we should be doing, we ought to get somewhere alone or together and pray down an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. Oh, that's what we need. The body of Christ has been hurt bad, folks. It's wounded, and the world's laughing at us. If there's ever been a time when we ought to just haul off, rear back, get more dedicated. Listen, let's show the world that all Christians ain't going to mess up. Let's get in here and do more than we've ever done and pray that listen, brother, if a Holy Ghost revival would sweep through Charlotte, clean that mess out, brother, and get a hold of them newsmen, there's a Charlotte Observer, people getting, that's what we need. Pray down an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. And I believe that there's somebody in this church this morning. I believe there's probably about 100 people in here this morning that the Lord has used what I've said this morning to speak to your heart, and you realize your life's in a mess. Or you're headed to trouble right now. You need to get up here and cry out and say, oh God, I'm getting my life back on that altar. And that's what we ought to do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to get us a song ready this morning. Appreciate your patience. We're going to let you go now in just a minute. And I feel like we ought to sing a couple of verses of some old song. What's behind the holy war? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And don't you ever think it couldn't happen to you. Now somebody needs to get something right with God this morning. Thank the Lord for these. It's already coming. If there's ever been a time, Christians, when we ought to be more sold out to God, Lord, help us. We're in a mess, folks. We're in a mess. We need to get right with God this morning. Take a lesson, friend. Take a lesson from Jim Baker's fall. Take a lesson. Be warned. Take heed. Dear Lord God, do what ought to be done in our hearts. Help us, O Father. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help these on the altar this morning. God, these that need to come and do business with you, help them to get their life on the altar this morning. We'll praise you and thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
407.
As you're all on the altar this morning, if God's spoken to your heart and you need to come, why don't you come and join these?
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase.
Come on.
And
you need to come. Just come on right now.
Earnestly, fervently.